Welcome to episode 49 of the On The Bounce Show. I'm not going to be in studio today because I am where every golfer in the entire world always dreams of being. Yes, today at the time of recording, I am playing the old course here at St. Andrews. And like those guys behind me, I am so damn excited. St. Andrews is incredible. We have to build a studio here. It is just the happiest place. Everyone here is wanting to play amazing golf. Everyone here is happy to have a drink and a chat with you. Pretty much the most in my element I could ever be as a person who loves golf and sports. Just the happiest place. But while I am here toiling out on probably the most iconic and famous golf course in the world, the guys are going to be in studio telling you all about the final day of the English Premier League season for 24-25. So as we all know, Liverpool have won it, so Hummels is going to come in. A little bit smug, slightly glowing. Cooks, one of our favorite contributors, is coming back. He's a Chelsea fan. Has an up and down season for them, but they still have a chance of making the top five. And then, of course, the host for today will be Sandile Shangazi, who is a Man United fan, who did well in the Europa League final. So that is your all-star cast for today. Sorry, my mind's already going back to where I am. In a couple of hours, I'm going to be like those guys over there. With my mates. We're having the greatest tour out here in Scotland at St. Andrews, and I'm really excited to tell you about it in future episodes. Really is just the most phenomenal place. But you are also at a phenomenal place right now, watching episode 49 of the On The Bounce Show. So, join the guys, get excited for some football, huge weekend ahead, and of course, Champions League final this weekend too. So it's a wonderful time for football, just like it's a wonderful time for golf, for me, right here, right now. Yeah, so many words, but just cut it there. Welcome to it, episode 49.
What a terrible intro, but shout out to my guy. Big shout out to my guy, Ben. I know he's been talking about this trip for a very, very long time. As we said, it's episode 49 of On The Bounce. I'm never by myself. We've got our regular celebrity, Super Sports Finest, Cooks in the studio. Say what's up, Cooks. How you doing, brother?
Oh, it's good to be back. I was actually worried at the stage, you know, because it's been, I've been the whole year. I was like, did I do something? And then last year or something, I was like, and I realized when Charles was down and I was still in good call, and I thought maybe, you know, the guys are looking at my well-being. They know, they can see that my club is not where I wanted to be at the moment, so the guys didn't call me, just let me reflect.
Yeah.
But that's good to be back.
James, as we said, it's the James episode today. We will be giving him his flowers, as we said. Okay, let me say what's up, James. How you doing?
How's it? I am phenomenal. I've been waiting for my time on the show. It's been a long season.
Yeah.
We're here.
What a long season. yes, guys, as we said, it's episode 49 of On The Bounce. We're covering the EPL roundup. We're in a very, very exciting time. But before we get into that, let us talk about the Heineken for the Fans wrap-up of what we went through the last weekend of football and all the sports. Let's start with Man City and Crystal Palace. I want to start with saying that I told the football world this is what's going to happen because of the leaky defense of City the whole season. What did you guys think about the final?
I mean, it was tight. I thought the class of Man City would come through. They seemed to, obviously it's been up and down season, but they seem to be playing reasonably well. But I think for me, for football's sake, I think I'm really glad that Crystal Palace won and Newcastle won. I think football got in this really... It's really shitty players, to be put it bluntly, where it was like top four were winning trophies.
Yeah.
And it just shows the value to certain clubs what a trophy does mean. Yeah. And like with Newcastle winning the Carabao Cup, and then now Crystal Palace winning the FA Cup, and you see what it means to them. I want to get back to a place in football. Yes, you want to come fourth and cover Champions League, but you want a trophy as well. Yeah. So, I mean, Crystal Palace, I mean, what a win. I love their coach a couple of weeks ago when they lost 5-2 to City, and he said if they play the same tactics, I will beat them. Call them out and goes and does
what he did. I think it's not out of the ordinary to see City lose a final. I know that sounds
back
weird.
To back, it's back to back now.
Seven finals for Haaland. No goals, no assists. So I mean, he's a no show in finals, obviously.
I just want to ask you guys this before we quickly move on. Do you think this is a failure for Man City, and do you think Pep is kind of getting caught out because I think it's his first trophyless season?
Yeah, I think it's a failure for them. I don't think Pep's getting. It's hard when, you know, Haaland's been out for a long time. Their best player, Rodri, just got back yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm going, the last time for me, City didn't win a league title. They won four in a row. And the last time before they didn't win a league title, they got 100 points. So the class of Pep, I'm still going to lean towards that. I think they will come bounce back next season. I think now it's just the end of an era. Like, you know, the KDB is gone. Like, maybe the Bernardo Silva is going to walk away. Ederson is going to walk away. So I think it's an end of an era. There's like the John Stones. I think now it's time to refresh. But if you have Pep Guardiola, I can't picture a world now where the football world's caught up and then he's done.
Yeah, I think it's like super tough also for a team like City who've dominated football for the last 10 years or whatever. And this is their first real like slump in form, right? Yeah. They haven't had, I mean, Man United's still going through it. Liverpool's gone through
it. We'll get to that.
You know, there's teams that have gone through slumps in form, made it back, and now they're kind of either sitting on their perch or kind of consistent or whatever it is. City have never really experienced this. So I think bouncing back from a mood like this in the dressing room is actually going to be quite tough. And as for Pep, serial winner, I don't know how you bounce back as a serial winner with no trophies, eh?
Yeah, so that was the FA Cup final. I want to move to something that, you know, Cooks, you're going to help me run through this one on. Scottie Scheffler. What I know is that he dominated the PGA Tour at Quilhallo. If I got that wrong, please don't kill me, but he was 5 strokes ahead of the field. What does that actually mean to a basic non-golfing fan? Because I heard that was utter dominance.
Pretty much it. Scottie Scheffler is by far the best golfer in the world. We know obviously Rory got the Grand Slam at Augusta, but this guy Scottie is an absolute machine. I mean, you sort of, the Saturday, the last 5 holes, he was 5 under, and it's a tough stretch. I mean, that's basically like, I said, a football fan, that's like playing Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal.
Yeah.
And then if you could like play Real Madrid in the week and then you go win 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0. That's what basically what Scottie Scheffler did on Saturday. And then on Sunday, didn't play well on the front nine. And then obviously the end, he was dominant as well. I mean, this guy is an absolute machine. He's a freak of this third major now. So he's basically, I mean, they say he's the best golfer. Like, the dominance he's had is as close as we've had since the Tiger era.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the likes of the Rory Jones piece of all that run, but the one who's dominant is what Scottie is doing now. I mean, before he won the PGA Championship, people were saying it was a quiet year because he'd only won one. Mm. He only won one tournament, and now he's got 2 back-to-back wins. So, yeah, we're in a golf. Golf is a good place. Obviously, the love PGA things, but I mean, Scheffler is by far the best player in the world.
Yeah, I've been hearing that Scottie Scheffler has probably been the most dominant throughout, you know, these past couple of years, and it's beautiful to see where he is. Hamez, I'm assuming you don't have anything to talk about when it comes to Scottie Scheffler.
Golf is cool, man. That's my
Ben, I know you would have raved about it. Don't kill us on that one. Let's talk about the Formula One that happened this weekend. I am so happy that we had a competitive Formula One. As you guys know, Max Verstappen came first and really raced out of his socks from the jump. Once again, McLaren 2 and 3. But in our sweepstakes, I owe Ferrari fans a little bit of an apology. The Brew came fourth. So my Antonelli versus Lewis Paul. Lewis came fourth and Antonelli didn't finish. What did you guys think about the F1?
Yeah, I mean, it's great competitive. I think Max is... It's a funny thing, eh? Like, this reminds me a lot of, you know, the McLaren is by far the fastest car. I
mean,
it is blitz. And it reminds me of 2021, where if Max is going to compete, where, you know, when Max had that very quick car and then Lewis was with the Mercedes, but Lewis at that stage was the better driver. And I think for Max and Red Bull to compete, I definitely still think Max is the best out of those, out of Piastri and Nando.
Yeah.
Max is the better driver.
Yeah.
But I just think Max, he just needs a little bit of help with the Red Bull. Just give him something.
Yo,
just
man.
Just give him something.
Yuki, try us out, bro. At this stage of the game, bring back Checo.
Yeah. Wow. I just feel bad for Max. I'm just like, because Max is like, I just think Max, like, maybe he doesn't have to be the four. Just give him something that he can compete with. I mean, Piastri is still fantastic. I mean, he probably went from pole in his struggle, but
yeah.
I just think with Max and Red Bulls, the win now, it's the gap's not big enough for him. He's still out of it, but give him a semi-decent car. I still think he's the best driver on the grid.
Yeah.
And I just think with those two, I think if it comes down to driving ability and just... then it's fucked up at the moment. I mean,
Max all the way. Do we think Lewis is like gonna ever be back to the Lewis that he was?
No, look, I've been calling it for some time. I think it's a wrap. I think we enjoy what happens and we enjoy his career. He's got a storied career. Same thing like with LeBron James that we've been talking about. I think this is the end of the run. And I'm probably being the doomsday guy, but the field is getting a lot better. That is the main thing. I mean, Lando and Piastri are fighting for 1 and 2 for their own, you know, for their own individuals. So it's going to be super competitive.
And the Ferrari cars, I mean, I'm a Lewis guy. I've always been. Yeah. And that's why all those It's always tough to compliment Max, but,
he's a driver. Nah, yo, he's great.
Nah, he's an incredible driver. Yeah. So, but I think the lowest thing is I think next year for me, I think it's the end.
No, I agree, actually.
Yeah. I think with his contract, I think it's two-year contract. Next year's the end.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that Ferrari, they say that next year's car will be a lot better. That's what they say, but I've heard that before. But I mean, you look at the radio messages going from Lewis to Ferrari, and I'm like, Chief, is this how you end your career? Why things you retire? You don't stress at the end of the year. Now you're giving us, now the Mercedes car looks a lot faster than it was there, because I mean, the car he had the last 3 years was basically twerking up and down the way, bouncing down the race car, but race track. But now I'm like, Lewis, are you give yourself this unnecessary stress with Ferrari to end it? For me personally, I can't see him getting the eighth one. Like you said, the drivers are getting better.
Yeah,
I think Ferrari will put a good enough car up. I've seen Ferrari from the back for about 15 years now. They don't change now.
Yeah, but for me, the Kimi Antonelli versus Lewis story for this week. Oh, okay, Lewis, you got it done. And I love to see the Lewis improvement throughout, the season. So we'll always be watching that. Let's move to the URC. Very, very exciting time for the South African teams. The quarters is officially confirmed. Bulls and Sharks at home. What are your feelings about that?
Yeah, excited. I mean, Bulls, Edinburgh. Bulls will probably be looking for revenge after Edinburgh knocked them out of the EPCR. And then the Sharks against Munster is a tough one. My beloved Sharks. It's not pretty at the moment, the way we're playing. But we're winning.
Yeah.
So it's funny enough, we won 13 games. A lot of people going on about the way the Sharks are winning the performance. I know they've been great, but for me, I lean towards... they find a way to get over the line. I think when he gets to the playoffs, that's the sort of the focus. I mean, you look at the guys, Eben, Seal will come back in 2 weeks, next week, and you got the likes of, Lukanya, Glover, and so many Springboks. They've won big games. So, yeah, I think the Sharks should win at home. The exciting part is the Sharks and the Bulls win. Bulls-Sharks semifinals, the URC.
It's going to be...
that's tasty.
That is going to be chock-a-block. As you guys know, Storms are through. All the Storms fans, an apology, because I wrote them off earlier in the season. But I am not going to run away from, my little hate watch that I have for Manny Lubok. Guys, I don't get it. They made Damian Villitzer kick once again. I really don't. And Cooks, I need you to just give me the insight on this. Manny Lubok's core job at his position is to kick. I understand he's a playmaker holistically, but to make Damian Villitzer the kicker throughout that game, I think it's an injustice for the work that Manny Lubok is actually not doing during the off-season. Do you agree, disagree? Let me know your thoughts on that.
I disagree. Listen, Manny Lubok with the force on the tail, he's kicking and the struggles of the tee. He's not obviously been ideal and he hasn't been kicking as well as he could have. But he's not the first 10 or the only 10 in the world that doesn't kick for poles. You look at Romain Intermarc from France, who's a fantastic player, probably in the top three of best flyers in the world. He doesn't kick for club and country. Thomas Ramos kicks, and if Ramos not playing, then Dupont kicks. Anyone but him actually ends up kicking like at stages for Toulouse. You'd be like, so it's not a norm. It's not different for someone else to kick in a, it was not a flop. I think South Africa is different because in South Africa, the way we all grew up, especially with the Springboks, is the flop kicks. I mean, Bush James won a World Cup with Percy Montgomery kicking for poles. And so it's one of those things. I think with Marnie, obviously, it has stuck with him because it's not the level he wants to be. But for me, especially the Stormers, if Villains is kicking, it's what Marnie brings is playmaking is so much. And the Stormers, he was fantastic last week. So that's the luxury they have. You've got one of the best playmakers in the world with Willems can kick or, Sanchez can kick if he comes off the bench. So it's one of those things, you focus on the guy's strengths or his weaknesses. And I think his strengths outweigh his weakness.
So my last take on this Manny Lubok thing, I think we're giving a lot of excuses to Manny Lubok. During the offseason, please kick and go learn how to kick because Sasha Feinberg is going to take your job. And we know that Stormers caved because you asked for a transfer. I'm watching you, Manny Lubok, on this one.
His hate watch is real.
Yeah, no, my hate watch is very real. I even went deep into the transfer window stuff on that.
It's a Man United fan thing.
So there is no URC this weekend. We got EPCR Cup happening, the Champions Cup happening this weekend. So on the weekend of the 30th, we'll have those fixtures going on. The last one is for me, honorable mention. It wasn't initially on our week. Flex, can you please put up the picture? Is Amajita SA under 20s winning the AFCON? Once again, talking about the dominance of South African football in the continent. I think for me, it is absolutely amazing to see where our football is going. Mm. I think Bafana is the last team that needs to qualify for the World Cup.
Yep.
And that will be, you know, the final runway of, you know, all our juniors going through. I also want to make some honorable mentions of the players that won trophies. Just give me 1 second. Tylan Smith, best player. He was absolutely sensational throughout the tournament. And then we had Fletcher Lowe. I hope I get it right. Goalkeeper of the tournament, just basically showing that we were, you know, we were super dominant throughout the, you know, throughout the AFCON under 20s. So big shout out to that, and you know, it shows that we've got a lot of talent going through the ranks for SA football. Any thoughts on that, guys?
So excited! Yeah. I think it's about time South African football does a thing. I'm not getting ahead of myself and saying we're going to go to the World Cup next year and. Like
we should.
Quarterfinal.
We should. If we don't,
we'll be there. We go
into the States next year. Guys, as we said, that was the weekend wrap-up brought to you by Heineken for the hardcore fans. When we get back into the show, we will unpack the EPL and what this means for the rest of the season. Yeah, let's go to break. Welcome back to On The Bounce. We're going to talk about the EPL roundup. Guys, please don't judge me. I'm going to have to read a little bit from my phone to let you know what's happening with the race for Europe because the English teams did so well. So, Flex, if you could pull up the log. I promised James that I'd start where we need to start. James, this season has been incredibly sensational for you as a European giant. Talk to us about Liverpool and how you know, we had so many things to talk about. New coach, aging Salah, aging defense, Trent. But you guys seem to pull it all together. You know, let me give you a follow-up. Congratulations. Go for it.
I want to like try and come off as least biased as possible.
Come off biased, man.
But I think going into the season, Liverpool fans knew we had a squad that can do this thing, that can run for this thing. I don't think Liverpool fans actually believed they could do it.
Yeah.
And I think with the team that they have built, they did. They've only lost 4 games this season so far, which is huge.
Two now, you guys are drunk.
Yeah, because we went to Dubai to go drink for a week for some
drunk for 2 of them.
Damn reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I called it at the beginning of the season. I just want to throw that out there, that we were going to win it. So I'll throw that out there. Is it still Jurgen Klopp's team, though, is something I want to get a non-Liverpool's fan perspective on. Because I've been speaking to some people, and they've said, basically what Slot's done is come in, taken this team. It's Jurgen's team. He's just won a Premier League with them. That's all he's done.
Cooks, I'm going to hand that one over to you.
No, it's an interesting one. I think, obviously, I mean, you only signed Chiesa. So I think, I must say, what Jurgen Klopp did very well was leave a very good squad.
Sure.
And, you know, a very good squad. Unlike Mr. Ferguson over here, who ran them to the brink and is like, I am out of here. And then Moyes is like, so is this what I'm left with? I think that's a very good squad. But my thing with why I say, like, with Slot is that quite quickly you could see the change in the way they play.
It's
not the way they play under Klopp. There's a little bit more control on the rocker of football. And my thing with, like, with Liverpool was like it was the control that you guys had, especially earlier in the season where once you guys went up 1 or 2-0, the game was shut. It was 8-0. Hold on to the ball. So it was different in the way they played. I mean, the Gravenberg, so he came alive. Where under Klopp, it looked like is he the great guy? But under the way Slot plays, he's been fantastic.
Absolutely.
One of the best players of the season. Salah's been Salah. So I do think that you can see immediately Slot's identity in that side. Sure. And you saw early on in the preseason, and this is how the way I play, this is how it fits in. So it's very hard not to give the old credit. I think he's been phenomenal, bar a fantastic PSG side. Could have gone even deeper in the Champions League. And the probably the only slight to give him is that the FA Cup game when your reserves, Oaks, didn't show up pretty much. And that he's been fantastic.
I think, that's like the one thing Liverpool don't have on their side is they've got a strong bench, but it's not as strong as it can be. And some seasons that definitely impacts us. I think last season in January we had a bunch of injuries and that we ended up fourth or fifth or something ridiculous. So, I think if we could bolster the bench, Trent, it's fine. We've made peace.
I will give you my it's not a big think piece on this. I think winning is the most important thing. Whoever's club, whoever's team it was, nobody really is going to tell that story. Slot came in, lifted the Premier League in a very tight Premier League. That's probably what I'm going to get into in the rest of our segment. But I think it was super, super tight. Probably one of the more exciting seasons in the Premier League. But let's talk about the top five race. So, guys, as I said, I'm going to be reading off my phone.
Let's do it.
This year, unlike previous years, the top five will be going through to the Champions League. And now, barring today's game, Guys, we shoot the show on a Wednesday, so there's a reason I'm not wearing my United shirt or supposed to be wearing my United shirt.
Have they won? Have they lost?
It's because Man United and Arsenal, Man United and Tottenham are playing today. So whoever wins the Europa will be the sixth team now going into the Premier League. So as we know, the automatic qualifiers are Liverpool and Arsenal. Then between City and Nottingham Forest, it's a bloodbath there. I'm going to let you know why this has happened. This is because due to the performances of the Premier League clubs in all of European or UEFA's competitions this season, England is guaranteed two top spots in UEFA's association club coefficient ratings, which earns them an extra spot for performance because of the UEFA rankings. So the Premier League teams, as I said, it's going to be six clubs because of Manchester United and Spurs. And it also has bigger implications moving forward, which I'll unpack. And I'm going to go into this weekend's fixtures, which are, I know Cooks is, he is in trouble. So we have Arsenal versus Southampton, Man City versus Fulham, Newcastle versus Everton, Chelsea versus Nottingham Forest. Hold that thought. And Forest versus Chelsea. Oh, yeah, I've said Forest versus Chelsea and Villa versus Man United. Guys, it's a bloodbath there. How are you feeling?
It is an absolute bloodbath. Oh, man, I've never been so stressed.
In the trenches, huh?
Yeah, the last 4 weeks have been terrible. I mean, since we played New York, thank goodness that New York, so we're still drunk. So we managed to get a victory. And then we were poor against Newcastle. And then we played United, who decided that they're going to come alive in the league for about 50 minutes against us. And then we got a goal. I mean, we got a goal to win the match. Now, against Forest, I mean, the nice thing for us is, I mean, it's all in our hands. I think that's it. You win, we win.
You eat through.
Like, if you draw, now we need Villa to draw, or you need, you know, you need, like, now we do like to the old school
Bafana match.
So, yeah. And of course, you all play at five. So for Chelsea, it's all in our hands. And it's tough to go to Forest and get a result. I mean,
Especially this season, eh?
Yeah, especially this season. And we don't have a striker. So we just, all I'm asking for is Chelsea. Like, for me, this is bigger than the Conference League final. I mean, obviously, I'm saying we want to win a trophy, but we do want to get back in the Champions League.
Yeah.
That's where we want to be. It's been two seasons now, and I'm desperate for us to get back in the Champions League, and then we'll deal with the Conference League on Wednesday. But I am stressing. I am panicking because by far we've got the toughest game.
Yeah.
Because it's a shootout. Forest knows if they win, they're probably through as well.
Yeah.
But they'll need Villa, obviously. They need a favor from Villa or someone. But they know if they beat us, they're as good as through. So it feels like a final within a final.
So as I said, Europe gets even messier when we get to the Europa League. Let me read it. English football receives two Europa League places. One is traditionally awarded to the fifth place team, as we said, in the Premier League. But this season we'll go to the sixth place team because of the bloodbath, as we talked about, getting to the Champions League, because England have received two additional spots in terms of the Champions League spots. And then with the Europa League, Crystal Palace winning the FA Cup, they've gone through after they beat Man City. But here's the kicker. If Chelsea go through and win the Conference Cup, they automatically get a spot as well.
Now it's become confusing.
Now it's going to become confusing.
So if you win it, so let's say we win against, we beat Forest on Sunday and we win the Conference League, we can actually choose which competition we want to play in. So you can be like, Champions League. Like, maybe, like, I don't know, like, maybe next year we're busy on Wednesdays and Tuesdays. Like, that's where our team dinners are. Like, you know, let's do Thursdays.
Yeah.
So it's a mess.
So the bloodbath happens like this. If they qualify for a Champions League position, they all sacrifice their spot in the conference for Brighton. Or Brentford.
Wow.
So that eighth place slot now becomes a crazy position. So what's probably unique about this year is that
what happens in Newcastle? Because if you win the Carabao, there's also something there as well.
I'm going to get into that. So probably for the first time in the history of the EPL, we might have 10 teams in the Premier League playing in Europe, which is Europa spots and conference spots, and the six teams that have gone through to the Champions League.
So which is a great time for English football.
So that
right?
means the last day, guys, and I'm going to try to wrap it up on this one. The last day before I go to Chelsea Mets, the last day of the season is super exciting. So that Brentford fight at the bottom between eighth is very important for them to get into the Europa Conference. So let me read you your Chelsea Mets, Cooks. So Chelsea finishes seventh and wins Conference Cup. Champions League positions was go 1-5. Man United or Spurs as European winners. And then in the Europa League, sixth, the sixth position in the EPL, Crystal Palace as FA Cup winners and Chelsea as Conference Cup winners and seventh. That's what happens. And then the eighth person in the Premier League will go to Conference Cup. I hope you guys got that.
My word, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
Chelsea finishes sixth and win the Conference Cup, while Newcastle finish seventh. Champions League will 1-5, Man United or Spurs because of Europa position. And then in the Europa League, we'll have Newcastle as seventh, Crystal Palace as FA Cup winners, Chelsea as Conference Cup winners, and then in the conference place, we'll have the eighth position. So like I said, guys, in either scenario, we have 10 teams from the Premier League going through, depending on what Chelsea decide to do. The big issue is if Chelsea loses, then life becomes tricky. They better beat Forest.
Yeah, it becomes a mess for. We have a few London clubs like the Brentfords and then Brighton cheering for us to get the job done. But you know, it's, you know, Forest. I mean, it's, they have had a little bit of a stumble in form lately. So I'm hoping that we can put a performance in. Look, at the season has been frustrating for Chelsea. I mean, I thought at the start of the season we'd probably finish sixth. That was my prediction.
Yeah.
First at the start of the season, the new manager and still with a squad of the average age of 15, so I thought it would probably come. But now, like, to get a chance in the Champions League, it will be fantastic. I mean, because that changes our transfer window. I mean,
is it a Champions League competing side though, that Chelsea squad?
Well, I mean, so the thing is, if we get in the Champions League, for example, like, I know reading all the reports, like, we want to go after Rodrigo, you want to go after Osimhen and guys like. But now, if you get in the Champions League, then you can attract those sort of players.
Yeah,
that's what we want. Because I mean, I do think that next year, if you do get those sort of players, that we're going to be competing for a league title. Because I've seen glimpses this season, like the first half. I know of where we can be.
Yeah.
I mean, we were at a stage, if we had beaten Everton in December, we were going top.
Yeah.
And then we decided to draw against Everton and decided to be crap for about 6 months. So at least I've seen where we are. But now, if you're in the Champions League, get the right sort of players, and then, you know, who knows what happens next season.
Like I said, bloodbath. I'm just going to go through for all my Brighton fans before you drag me in the comments. Brighton need a point from their final match at home against Spurs to secure 8 spots.
So they'll still get 3 there.
Yeah, but if they lose and Brentford win at Wolves on the final day, the Bees will finish 8th spot. All eyes will be on the conference final, like we said. So Chelsea,
I don't like this whole thing where our fates and like same. You talk about Chelsea, man. I feel bad for size. Now they're gonna watch a Conference League game. So, and I'll be tired of the Brentford fans because the final will be the first Conference League game I've watched all season.
Yeah. But one thing I must give a testament for when we look into the log is how great English football has been throughout the European positions.
Yeah.
The fact that Brentford coming eighth have a chance to go into Europe is gonna be, you know,
even.
Is going to be absolutely sensational.
Even guys, with last season, like Villa was in the Champions League.
Yeah.
This past season.
And they jammed.
Newcastle got themselves back in the Champions League mix again. You look at Forest. I mean, that's probably been the story of the season. I think, you know, everyone talks about Liverpool, the points haul and all that. And, you know, but listen, like Liverpool have been fantastic in that they pulled away early and then no one could catch up. And then everyone else Boston, I mean, that's second. But like from City to Forest, everyone's just beating each other.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, look at all this. Everyone's beating each other. So everyone sort of kept themselves, whereas Liverpool have been good enough, enough quality to sort of stay ahead. I mean, that's all, there's at least 13 Salah goals here. There's a lot of things to pull away from all of us.
I won't lie. I'll be touched if, I know it's weird to say, Forest had a great season. If they could sneak into a Champions League spot, I think it'll be just as. I'm not trying to put you into any controversy. Let me move on swiftly as Cooks is tucked about what I said. I want to talk about the relegation battle, guys. Ipswich, Leicester, and Southampton go
down. And Man United, huh?
Not yet. We beat the punch. The real thing I want to focus about is the golfing class with the guys that have gone that have been relegated. You know, Leicester, Ipswich, and Southampton came up last season, and they've gone straight down.
Wow.
Do you guys think that the teams below them in the conference cannot compete at all? Because it's not even close. You know, we've got Southampton who have been historically bad. They bowed out of the EPL with 7 games to go, which is the biggest, which is the biggest difference, you know, in league history. Before it was held by Derby County when they had an absolute disaster of a season.
I remember that season, actually. Yeah. That was wild. Jesus. They barely won that
season. Yeah, they barely won. And, you know, Southampton, Ipswich, Leicester all come like literally a year off. Any thoughts about how, you know, competitive these new teams coming up can, you know, can compete, or is it just going to be an up and down as we move forward?
I think it's tough. I mean, obviously money wise, as the teams coming up, it is a lot to compete with. But my thing is, you know what annoys me about it? Maybe I've been watching a lot of Roy Keane, so maybe that's where my grumpiness comes from. I can't stand the way the bottom sides come in the Premier League and think like Ipswich. They're going to walk into Man City and play this attacking football, this woke football, like we play at the back and do this. I'm like, who the hell do you think you are?
I can't agree with you more.
Come up. Like, all that matters is get enough points to get to 40, get to 40 points. Because my thing is, like, you look where United and Spurs are, they say by the fact that the bottom sides have been so bad. Mm. Like Southampton, for example, like, I remember that we played them, we draw against them, but early in the season, I think it was against O-City, they set up to go gung-ho and they lost like 5-1. The coach is like, yo, but our brand or star. I'm like, oh, you lost.
Yeah.
5-1. Like, you know, back in the days, you see, like, you know, the Brentfords, when they came up, they were tight, they were compact, they were hard to beat first, managed to get points. And then as they sort of survived in the Premier League and they got better, then their football started to change. Like, you look at Forest, everyone speaks about Forest and how good they are. But under Nuno Espirito Santo, is defensively, they're fantastic first.
Yeah.
And that's been their secret. And they've added players, maybe illegally or not legally with the FFP, but hey. But, you know, but
who are we to say?
Defensively, they've been good. All the sides that have come up and stayed on defensively, they've been good. But these Oaks now, all these sides that come up, like all these young managers who come in, spread the ball around and knock it around and, you know, play from the back. Company did it last year with Burnley, got relegated, obviously goes to Bayern Munich. But, like, it's the teams come up, like they just want to play, like, this new brand of football. Like, you know, like, guys, can someone just park the bus and make it just be hard to beat?
Yeah.
I think football's also becoming hugely competitive at the moment. I mean, these players, and it's across Europe, these players like Yamal and Mbappe, they were superstars at the age of 17, 18, 19 already.
Yeah.
And I think players by age are better younger these days. So football's becoming faster, it's becoming more competitive, and these guys who are playing championship the whole season aren't kind of exposed to that.
Yeah.
I also wonder if next season, with the bloodbath that's about to happen this weekend and whatever happens, whether that'll kind of help, because these teams like Forest and Brighton, who don't play European football, still have to do Europe, League Cups, Premier Leagues, FA Cups. They have to play more football now. Yeah. Can they do that thing and still compete in the Premier League and not lose to these random, like, Burnley or Brighton or whatever the random teams are?
But
you know?
I can't agree with you more, guys. I think for me, it's a coaching issue because we've got teams that have survived. Forest came in, it survived.
Yeah,
then
did really well.
Then built the philosophy. Yeah. I think the obsession of philosophy and wanting to play a certain way, wanting to play a certain style, has killed a lot of these teams. Because I think Ipswich and Southampton could have survived because of how badly United and Spurs are. They gave us a buffer. Which I'm going to have to get into later. But the obsession with philosophy and, you know, it's a cautionary tale for the guys that are coming up into the league, is rather get the points, get the money so you can build a proper squad and then you can compete-ish. And you know, our case study is always, you know, Nottingham Forest, because they survived one or two seasons and then they started building the philosophy with the money that's invested into that.
And they've shown they can be consistent with it. Two seasons in a row now. They've been fairly decent, actually.
Yeah. They've been good. I miss especially the bottom, I miss those teams that are hard to beat.
Yeah.
That's the frustrating thing with relegation sides, is that teams just pick them off. I mean, Leicester went a certain stage before they were relegated, where they went like 9 games, not even scoring a goal.
Yeah.
And teams just picking them off. Like, it was back in the day, like, sometimes it's maybe if the side isn't a relegation fight. I mean, like go back 10 years. I mean, like, you have a Wigan in the Premier League, like, and you have a run and you're like, oh my word, I've got to go to Wigan. Iconic. I've got to go to Sunderland to try and get a result. I'm chasing a league title. They're trying to survive. Yeah. And they just become hard to beat.
Yeah.
And now it's like the teams now, they'd rather play a certain way as opposed, they're like, we're going to play a certain way. If we lose, we lose.
Yeah.
Which is, for me, is like, it's a philosophy thing. It's like, whatever sport it is, like, you want to play the right way, and then you go like, oh, but if you lose, it doesn't matter, if you play in the right style. That's the biggest load of crap for me in sports, when sides are like Southampton, like, they come here, the guys are talking about, like, philosophy, and, like, they're celebrating, like, we got a point, and they actually got a point because they actually parked the bus.
Exactly.
And they got a point, they're like, yeah, we didn't get 11 points. I'm like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, shout out to the cold night at the Britannia. You know, those type of stadiums where, you know, you're playing at Stoke and you're going to get hurt.
At Stoke.
Rory going to throw that ball in. I think, like I said, cautionary tale. Guys, I'm going to move on to the biggest losers and give you guys the platform. I am a man who's done a lot of incredibly terrible things because of my team this show, this season.
Like that one time
ice baths. Wore Liverpool shirts. There's a bet that I still have to wear an Arsenal shirt, but Ben said I'm going through too much. Guys, I'm going to start with the biggest loser. I think for me, just historically, I'm not going to get into it. Man United, one of the biggest losers this season. Guys, over to you. I've done this the whole year.
I got some things to say, actually.
Yeah, about Man United. Go off, bro.
And I had this chat with Flex the other day, okay? So, Man United, iconic. Old Trafford, iconic. European Knights, iconic. That club, right? Mm. This is the club that has standards that are not supposed to be losing to teams like Southampton, to teams like Brighton, to these tiny clubs, right? I get we're finding form, guys. Get it. We're building the club again, whatever we're doing.
In one competition, they're finding form.
Guys, I want to give you a fun fact before you say it was like finding form. 9 points in 5 months.
Okay, I get we're trying to attempt to play football, is what I should have said.
This philosophy thing that, you know, Cooks was totally saying.
Where have the standards dropped at Man United is my thing about it at the moment. Because, yes, you're playing European football. Sharp.
For now.
But Alex would be beside himself if you guys went to Southampton last weekend and drew, or you drew to them, right? Lost?
We lost. We drew and then we lost to Chelsea.
Alex would be beside himself. But Man United fans are saying, no, we're resting for Europe. But you should be competing for both at the same time because standards, iconic.
I'm going to park the question. I want to hear what Cook say. I'll have my rebuttal.
So United it's been great to watch this dissension. I think officially it's hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And yes, bar Europa League, right? Yeah. But like league-wise, it's hit rock bottom. You mean 16th. Yeah. You know, you've lost 17 games. So for me, my question has always been with United. It's, you know, Ruben Amorim came in and yes, you obviously, his job was, you know, try and rebuild things. But when he took over, you were 4 points off Champions League spot.
Yeah.
And Ten Hag got sacked then.
Sheesh.
You've gotten worse. So my thing goes like, Ruben Amorim, he's been lucky with the point. I think what saved him is the fact that it's like, okay, he's going to rebuild. We're going to go to next season. But you're like, but Chief, I understand that. But can you like stop the bleeding though as well?
Can you
like stop the bleed? Like, why do you have to get 9 points in 5 months? Because you had 30 points in December.
My man, I'm telling you, it's 9 points in 5 months, bro.
So like there were 4 points of Champions League spots.
Yeah,
so my thing is that with United, like it's, with any manager, I think, like, yes, they need to rebuild. Yes, we know there's a mess. Yes, they're going to have barbecues and guys aren't eating, guys aren't being paid. But there comes a point where, like, Chief, as a coach, do something.
Yeah.
Stop some sort of bleeding. So that's my... Now, the problem is, I think with Amorim, the distraction is, we've got to fix what's happening at the top, we've got to get the money in and the ones like that. So, like, but I'm like, okay. But you're like, at the bottom, they're like, but Chief, but can you... So, I don't know. Yes, you win the Europa League. It's great. You go back in the Champions League. But that, for me, it's not going to change things. Yes, you add a few, one or two players. Yeah, and he has his summer. But if United comes missing the Champions League the year after, would I be surprised? No. Because I think it's a 2-3 year fix, which maybe now at rock bottom, you can actually do that fix and not have the legends. Guys, this is Man United. This is Man United. This is like, it's not.
It's the delusions,
it's not,
man.
It's not that club anymore. So you might need a 2-3 year fix.
So,
also, Amorim has matched the same record as
worse
Gary Neville when he managed Valencia. Yeah.
Guys, his win rate is 32% in the league. Guys, I've got all the fun facts.
That's
about
like our pass rate in
but
South Africa.
I want to say this about Man United: we've hit rock bottom. Mm-hmm. There's nothing positive to say about this season. Also, the delusion of thinking that we're that great, because I thought we should have held on to Ten Hag even when things got tough. With Ruben now, and it's going to be a real management style, is we've got to hold the rope with this manager, because chopping and changing is also the big issue we've had in the past, where we didn't back a coach, didn't back a manager.
But my thing is, the problem is, because of the past, right?
Yeah.
The chopping and changing. Now it's gotten worse, where he should be chopped.
Yeah.
Like results was.
But the money.
But now you're like, oh no, now we're going to hold on to him because of, like, that's the hard part where I feel with you guys is, I'm sorry, this is sackable form, this.
100%.
Like, it is, but the problem is now you're like, we've held on to
Ten Hag.
Like, Ten Hag's like, we don't know what his playing style is. This guy is like, we know his playing style is like, but he refuses to change it. Like, I'm playing through the back of God, but like, you don't have the players. Like, actually, we'll figure it out later. So like, my thing is now is, someone asked like, and who said the job?
Well, we got him yet. I just wanted to get my smoke out the way. My conclusion on this is, it's been a shocker. We are by far the biggest losers in this thing. I don't care what happens with Spurs, which we'll jump into now, but I think just because we were 4 points off and the 9 points in 5 months, it's been an absolute disaster. Thank God it's over. and we move on. Champions League or no Champions League, we got to call it what it is. It was an absolutely, absolutely terrible season. I think having a minus flex is, if you could pull up that goal, the slide of where we are in the league. I just want to see the goal difference. Minus 12. Won 10, lost 18, drew 9.
Jesus.
I've never.
You lost half your league games.
Jeepers. Home or away, whichever you wanted. They had smoke for us. So,
can I ask you something, in both of you? Do you think Bruno Fernandes should be up for player of the season?
Not a chance.
Not with that rating.
Wait for it. I mean, like, I'm talking as them as a 16th place side. Because you take Bruno away from that side, they're in there with the Leinsters and the Ipswiches.
They're in and miss there.
Without Ahmad and stuff. But, guys, let me not make this about me. You've torn me apart. Let's talk about Spurs, guys.
You gotta move on.
20. Guys, I'm sorry. Like,
minus 20.
One of my best mates is a Spurs fan. I said to him, this season's an absolute, you lost 21 games, an absolute disgrace.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first thing he says, like, you know, Daniel Levy. I'm like, I still believe
not every year.
Again with managers and things like that. Like, if a manager for me, all I want from a manager is just, your job is to be able to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
Like, if push comes to shove, like, maybe, yes, the things that Spurs, Daniel Levy at the top and all of that, it's just frustrating. But he's given Ange some money. He spent some cash.
Yeah.
And yes, I've had injuries, but 21 league losses. That is, like,
that's outrageous.
There's no ways that you could say Ange, for example, like, yes, he's in his passionate press conference and I always win things in my second year, mate. You know, I'm like, oh, man, like, go back to Celtic. Like,
yeah.
21 league losses. 21.
I mean, if you make your Man United look good.
No way.
So that's crazy. So
Spurs, but again, I never expect much from Spurs. I mean, as a Chelsea fan, like, and it's just.
Although,
like,
that being said, they were in a Champions League final not too long ago.
Yeah, but that's what Spurs always say. Like, yeah, but a couple of years ago, we were in Europe. Who cares? Like, you didn't win it. Like,
no, but that's what I mean. That's the standard. Even the decline though they're is crazy. Not there currently,
then
it's like, the
then
decline is crazy.
Then it's like Poch, for exactly. example. So the decline
the season
has been,
after, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. The decline has been crazy. At least it's been the mix. But my thing is that, you know, 21 losses is ridiculous. That's sackable offense.
Oh, for sure.
But like, again, with Spurs, it's the same old story with Spurs. They're gonna sack a manager, then start again. Mm. Where they're gonna go? But again, there's certain things that oversees. Like, you can't move on to the guy who's lost 21 games.
Can't.
I think like a lot of this stuff has to. I don't think, but I actually wonder how much of this stuff is off the field that's impacting stuff on the field. And the same goes for United, right? It's like both
too many
teams,
off the field. Too many, yeah, off the field.
Both
politics.
Of them have declined so much in the last few years.
Yeah,
some of it has to be off the field stuff. There's no way new coaches can come into Arsenal, Liverpool, win league, yeah, titles, do that thing. But you guys are just,
yeah. I can't agree with you more. I think there's with both teams there's been a lot of player distractions.
There has
Man United,
to be, yeah.
Man United, you guys have known it's well documented from the beginning, from Sancho to Rashford. Sure. To Garnacho. That's why I'm very glad for an off season and a pull together and a fresh start. But I just wanted to ask the both of you guys, is there any silver lining that you guys can see moving forward, or is this
For Spurs, no. Like, we've seen this movie before when they were in Champions League finals and they came second and the same old things happening. United, I think there is.
Fresh start.
I think United is there's a lot of dead wood that needs to be cleared. Mm. Like, you know, the Lindelof. So even Mourinho didn't want Lindelof. And how long when Mourinho was...
That guy grabbing a chick.
Like, there's a lot of dead wood. Like, the Shaws have got to go. Yeah. You know, like, there's guys
how
like...
How not mention Harry Maguire? Just by the
Harry
way.
Harry out there getting goals.
Whoa.
And, both of you, tackles.
Carl. Harry's getting goals. I mean, like, I also hear Harry Maguire is always a scapegoat, right? Yeah. But there's other players there who's actually playing a lot worse than he is.
Who didn't play.
Like, who didn't play. So it's, yeah, like, you know, there's certain guys that were just like things like, you know, like, Ugarte got signed, but PSG didn't even want him. Yeah. But United paid like 50 mil or something to get to get him.
Mm.
So there's like a lot of like just dead wood. Like, Rashford needs to go. Sancho needs to go. I don't know where he does go because, I mean, we probably end up getting him anyway. Just some depth there. But, yeah. Like, there's only four or five guys you probably keep at United, like, you know, the Brunos, the Diallo. I like the look of Patrick Dorgue as well.
Yeah.
I like him. Like, there's guys you can keep, but I think, like, you know, the silver lining is that you get a chance to clear all the deadwood. That's why I say, if you're Man United, clear the deadwood, get some guys in the Kunkers coming in,
yeah,
and
Kana and as well coming.
You know, I mean, if you get Champions League, you can get a Gio Carreras, for example, or something, yeah, like that. So there is enough quality that's going to come in where you can go, okay, we've got some guys coming in. It will take some time. That's why I keep saying, like, take 2 seasons to clear deadwood. Like, as much as people rag on Arteta, I still think he did the right way. When he came eighth for those two seasons, he got the little Aubameyang. He's got all those oaks, and then eventually got the youngsters to come in. Now he's got the squad now, and he's taking the next level. So I think United, there's a silver lining with Spurs. Spurs will always be Spurs. Like, because I think for me, there's nothing Spurs can do in the last 20 years that convinces me that they're going to change.
Cooks, you guys can see where Cooks is at. I'd rather back United than...
Spurs. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's move to the team that did really well. I mean, everybody's going to focus on Newcastle, but for me, I want to talk about Forest because I don't think I had Forest going in like this and shocking the world. Yes, they've dropped to seventh, but the rest of the season was absolutely incredible. A team of nobodies, and everybody's going to go get a check now. I'm really, really proud of what they did. And also, as we talked about with the teams that are getting relegated, were able to hold the ground and then push forward. And then you guys can, you know, pick your biggest teams that are biggest surprises as well.
I think Forest, huge surprise. They were the first team to hand us our first loss this season. So, I mean, on the run of form we were in when they did hand us that loss was quite impressive. So I think Forest... definitely. Newcastle. I wonder if it's not that new money that came in a few seasons ago that's doing this thing.
I wanted to say that because, and Ben, I'm sorry to drag you on this one because I know you said you wanted to talk about Newcastle doing so well this year. Newcastle came with that, a lot of that Saudi money, and now it's coming to fruition.
Mm. But they didn't even buy superstars, eh? That club, that team is not filled with superstars by any stretch.
Well, I mean, Isak walking into a lot of teams right now, and you know there are a couple of guys in there who will be signed.
Tonali,
Sandro Tonali.
There are a lot of guys who Gordon played well. I think he can walk into a lot of things, but I am not surprised as much as a lot of people are by Newcastle because of the amount of money they invested in that team throughout the foundational phases. So Cooks, you.
I must say Newcastle, I think it's Eddie Howe's been fantastic as well. I think
he's still been the same manager for years.
I think he's been great. I think last season they you could see they struggled with that balance of playing Champions League sort of the league form. They came by like seventh or eighth. And then now they've got themselves back in the mix. I think for us is the big story. I think no one had them being where they are. I mean, the Gibbs Whites and the, you know, guys like that where... You know, Anthony Elanga has been great. I mean,
he buried us with that goal, man.
And he's been fantastic. Chris Wood, I mean, no one thought he'd be up there for top goal scorer. So yeah, I think it's a great story. I mean, obviously they manage the owners. Well, in that case, I mean, storms on the field from with his iPhone 7. So my thing with Forest, it's even if they end up say sixth or seventh, then they get in the Europa League spot. No one thought they'd be there.
Yeah,
still an incredible story. And if I'm Forrest, I'm trying my best to hold on to the Gibbs Watts and guys. Even the likes of the Gibbs Watts, because now the attraction goes, ooh, do I go to a bigger club? We're like, you know, as he's been linked to the Man City Gibbs Watts, you're like, man, you can go, but.
You ain't gonna get time.
Exactly. You're gonna go from being a starter week in, week out, up for, you're in the team of the season potentially. You're gonna go to Man City, we can be another option. You're not gonna get his time. Look at the likes of Nunez has gone from Wolves to there, wasn't playing as much. So. Do you not stay for another season? Build on what you have now.
Yeah.
Because now you can attract more players because now you can make that next push and keep yourselves in the level where Villa and where like Newcastle are, where you're hopefully pushing for Brighton, you're pushing for the European spots.
Yeah, so I think for me, those are the big two teams that I think is probably the best story in terms of team-wise. We're going to go into some big team analysis, guys. We have spoken a lot about Liverpool, so you'll forgive me, right?
No, not at all.
Unless you have some closing words.
We won the league, man. That's all I got.
Thank you. Let's talk about Chelsea. How are you feeling about Chelsea this season, Cooks? I think from my end, we had a lot of things to say earlier about Chelsea in the season, but they kicked on, and I am a big supporter of this big team, Chelsea.
Yeah, it's actually been great. I mean, obviously the last 2 years have been it's not been fun in this change of ownership, and as a Chelsea fan, it's so strange because you've gone from the most ruthless. Yes, I know we've gone through quite a few managers, but like we've gone from like this ruthless, you know, billionaire Russian tyrant where we're gonna win, we're gonna compete, we're gonna play a certain way, we're gonna go for experience, we're gonna go for this, and then now we've gone from that to the youngest team in the Premier League again. And I must say, with our side, it's frustrating watching Charles sometimes because there's a lot of immaturity with our sides, like as you have with the young side, we're up and we're down. But one thing I will say is that I've seen how good we can be. We're coming second and we've pushed sides. In big games, we've been a lot better than we've been. I think the one game we were really poor, City at home. when you had them at the Bridge. I mean, I thought we scored early and then we were horrific. And then, like, other than that, even in all the games, we've pushed. We played Liverpool early the start of the season. I thought we were great. And we've been there against Arsenal. I mean, besides that one really dull game that no one was great at. The biggest thing for me now is that we need to get experience.
Yeah.
We need to get guards over the age of 20, 25, get a good striker and get... Because my thing is that there's not many... We need a goalkeeper. We need a striker. And probably, I would say we need a left winger. Yeah. And maybe a centre-back. I'm not too worried about, like... But we need... Those are three positions that I need to compete. I mean, I'm willing, with my own money, to raise it, to current fund, to give Brighton another 100 million for Moises Caicedo. Just say thank you.
Oh, yeah. No. Shout out to Caicedo.
Just say thank you for... The 100 million they gave you was not enough.
Yeah.
Like, we need to give...
Let me hold some of this.
Oh, guys, Moises Caicedo is... Like, I know his first game against West Ham, I was like, what on earth have we bought here? Yeah. But since the second half of last season to now, he's been our best player by far. That's what I call Palmer. Mm. I thought Enzo has been better. Palmer's been great as well.
Sucks for him, though. He was linked to Liverpool and could have won a league title this season.
Yeah, so. I know, it's fine. But it will win next season, so it's fine. but, like, our spine is getting better. Like, I think Caldwell's been this fantastic. But if we get goalkeeper... Cole's been fine, maybe different throw down the centre back, and then Fofana hopefully can stay fit because you were good when he played.
Yeah.
And then you got Caicedo, you've got Palmer.
Yeah.
Now we just need someone just like at the end there.
Yeah.
So it's like there's certain places where places we need to be, like goalkeeper. Sanchez, guys, nothing gives me more stress than Robert. I'd rather do taxes than watch Robert Sanchez at goalkeeper. I don't think you understand. I don't understand what it's like when the ball rolls to your keeper's feet.
And you're like, anything can happen.
You're like, oh, jeez, anything. Like, you're like, anything can happen.
Trust me, I know.
Right
bro.
Now. And you're just like, okay, whoo, back, okay. And, and then you watch again, it goes back, you're like, oh, no. So it depends. I mean, I'm not the biggest Enzo Maresca fan. I think we play the football's not where he wanted to be. It's not as free-flowing as when he started the season. He wants to play a lot more compact. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt of the job he's done.
Yeah.
But
positive, all in all?
Yeah, positive.
I think, we gave Chelsea a lot of stick, as I said. Something to build off of. Especially coming off where we predict them winning the conference final and then going into Champions League.
I hope so.
I know you guys playing Real Betis. We're hoping that
that's
you guys...
That's not worry.
That's a real team.
That's actually a real side. I mean, compared to the sides that got founded 2 days ago, we played in the...
The farms and stuff like that.
You guys, trust me, on a Thursday, the reason why I've watched Conference League half the time is the game's not even on TV.
that's crazy. I want to move on to Man City, guys. I think this is an interesting Man City analysis in terms of the season. Compared to the standards, they were relatively poor. And then they started rushing towards the second half in the true Pep style. Like, we're going to pick up the points on the tail end, but too much damage initially. My initial analysis of Man City is it's time for a change. I think this generation is finished. I think Kevin De Bruyne, great run. Bernardo Silva, great run. Haaland, I am strangely concerned about
worried.
About the standards, but I know Haaland is great. I just think the supply wasn't good. But for me, the biggest thing, we know Pep's got a very good attacking team. The concern was always the defense. Anytime they could leak a stupid goal, we saw it throughout all of their tournaments that they missed a Vincent Kompany, a Josh Stones, where the season before they had record clean sheets and moving, it was like chalk and cheese. Mm. So I think he needs to go back to the drawing board. But I also think philosophically, I think Pep has also come to an end. And I hate to say that. I think the hunger for Pep to adjust is a big thing. And the need for Man City to get a new, fresh start is probably something that's going to need to come through.
I think it's exactly that. Eh? It's the hunger to adjust is very tough. Again, he's been a serial winner all his life. And City haven't faced this kind of decline since becoming a multi-million... billion pound club or whatever. So it's also interesting to see Pep struggling the way he is. He was at Barca for years, did his thing, went to Bayern, did his thing, come here, did his thing also, but now it's
not
kind
his thing
of,
we can't even hate
that's
dominance.
True, that's true.
He's got an era, he's dynasty.
I think he also suffered a similar fate to Jurgen. The difference is Jurgen left earlier, and I think what happened was both of them competed to get...
Come on, brother.
Hear me out.
Come on, buddy.
Hear me out.
Come on, Pep didn't want too many titles for you to call Pep to Jurgen.
Hear me out. Okay. So Pep's been playing the same type of football for the last 6-7 years. And what happened with Liverpool and Jurgen towards the end, and it's not the reason Jurgen left. He left because he was done with the football thing, obviously.
Philosophy.
But it was the style of football that teams were picking up that Liverpool were playing. We weren't winning as many games. We weren't competing as much. And that was our issue. And I think after 6, 7, 8 years of Pep doing what Pep's doing here, teams have picked up on that thing. Their style of play is kind of predictable now. Yeah. And then, of course, the defense is an issue. How do you replace Vincent Kompany or John Stones, you know?
I think, look, football-wise, guys, the best side in Europe at the moment PSG play pretty much the way City plays, possession-based football. So they're still, and Barca, there's still a place for that style of football. Guys, City didn't have the best player in the world for their most all season, Rodri. I mean, he won the Ballon d'Or, and he
but
didn't
is
play.
One guy gonna determine?
Come on, guys. Okay. I hate this. Let me go.
Okay, remember the year for you guys? You didn't have Van Dijk.
Yeah.
What happened after that? Even though it was fine, but Van Dijk didn't play.
It wasn't terrific.
What I'm saying is, like, for example, everything that City wanted to do. I'm not saying it's just Rodri, but Rodri, not having Rodri does play a massive role. Okay. That is,
it's fair.
That is, they didn't have the best player in the world all season. And one thing I will say with City is that I agree with you that it is the end of the road for certain players, the KDBs. And I think that the mistake that Pep's had is not a philosophy thing. I think that also in the last couple of windows, he's not hit. And I think he held on last season, for example, when they won that fourth one. You could see they just got it in the Champions League. Yes, they lost a penalty shootout in Madrid, but maybe last season was the time for him to make hard calls and maybe get the Bernardo Silva and Oaks out early enough. But he sort of held on for an extra year because we won 4 in a row. I can't let them go now. And now you can see this in the last leg. The frustrating thing for me, if I'm a Man City fan, is the likes of Phil Foden. For me, what frustrates me is that you think now, after all the time he spent, he's the one, KDB drops off and then he runs the races. Like, you look at, like, where David Silva was there, for example, and, you know, David Silva left and KDB just turned to another gear. As good as he was went another gear, then Bernardo Silva went onto another level as well. Whereas now is like, Bernardo Silva hasn't been great. Foden has not kicked on, which is frustrating for City. So I think now I don't think City needs much. I think, and defensively, when they won the treble, the one of the best defensive sides in Europe. Exactly. You know, Pep started the thing of having 4 centre backs play. You know, Akanji has not been great. Those guys have not kicked on. So I think Edison is the problem is, like, all those guys are just, the generation has just come to an end.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for Pep, because he didn't make harsh calls last season, now instead of having to change one or two guys, now there's 4 or 5 guys that need to change.
Overhaul, yeah.
And I think the problem is now, that's what scares Man City, is that they have cash.
Yeah. They're about to ball up.
They've got Pep. So now the guys you're going after, it's different when us looking for an overhaul is, you know, Pep's going to go to like a Florian Wirtz or something, or maybe, you know, you can walk to like a Jamal Musiala and just making his arm and going, hey, you want to come to Man City? And also, do you want to be coached by me? And the guy's like, no, I'd love to be coached by Pep Guardiola. So that's what I don't think they've done. You mentioned Haaland. Haaland thing's so funny to me, guys. Like, I always fight for Haaland because, you know, guys go like, you know, that's just like, is Haaland still that guy? The guy scores 21.
He's scored
21 league goals, and it feels like he's hardly played. They've got that guy. How do you get booked for 20 goals next season already? Now you think to yourself, okay, now with City, the biggest thing is you've got the likes of James McAtee, the youngsters who come in. For me, for Man City, the biggest thing is obviously you got to get a replacement for KDB.
Yeah.
Foden's got to get his finger out his ass, literally, like, and be like, because I'm tired of fighting for Foden now. Yeah. And people are saying, because the likes of Palmer, Saka, they're all doing stuff for them. They're doing the most. And you are just standing going like, oh, but I won player of the year last year.
We're over that.
And no one thought you should have won anyway.
Yeah.
Rodri gets back, which is massive.
Jack, what do you think about Jack?
I heard he's on the way out, eh?
Yeah,
Jack's got to go, man.
Yeah, it hasn't worked.
It hasn't.
Yes, he's won the treble, and he's been successful, but it hasn't worked. Like, he's not been that sort of player. And it's so funny, people like blame Pep, like the way, guys, unfortunately, like, I'm always going to lean towards the guy. The guy who's got 2 trebles in 2 different countries and 1 semi league title. Yeah. So he's like, I play a certain way, and he doesn't figure, hey, some guys can, some guys can't. So I think Jack's going to go. Wouldn't surprise me if Man City's back in the title mix again next season.
How old is the City squad, by the way? I mean, I know they've got some of the old guard with KDB and stuff, but it's a very young squad.
I don't think it's a leg thing.
yeah.
legs.
Because you're going deep in the Champions League, right? Deep FA into Cup, the league. Right. FA Cup, you're going deep. Yeah. And it's, you know, yes, they've won those, I mean, they won those four league titles in a row, but not one of them was like York's, where they won with three games to spare.
Yeah.
It's always been to the last day. They're going to go front up for FA Cup final. They have a Champions League.
Yeah.
So I think it's a legs thing. Like, poor KDB, after that hamstring injury, you can see.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Last one, and I have to do it because this one might take some time and I don't want it to. Arsenal, guys. Arsenal is a big, big one to analyze because I feel like this is as far as this Arsenal team can go as currently constructed. We all know, as we alluded to, they're in need of a striker. They need of some squad depth because we knew when they made a deep run into the Champions League is that you can't play 11 players the whole time. And they suffered from that. They suffered from not having enough depth. I mean, some of those guys were just out of, you know, sorts when you go into a big PSG game or during the season, Saka's out or Odegaard, we're trying to push for him to get back. Where to from here? And I'm of the belief they just need to break the bank this season.
Sure.
It's the same thing as in last year. Just get a striker. Like, that's just slack. Just get a striker. I think next season there's no excuses for Arteta anymore. This season.
But no excuse in the sense of he has to win a trophy.
Not even
right?
win a trophy. Like I
think
said,
it's EPL or Champions League.
Yeah,
it has to be a big one.
Like FA Cup, but I think the league's got to come. I think next year that's the big one. It's league or bust. I just think, you know, this year you lost Saka for a stage, you lost Gabriel now, then the season, then Odegaard got injured. But all those guys now, I think it's time, and it's like for Arteta. Like, because my thing is, it's actually suffering from his own success now because you've taken the side here, we're at the well, now we need to drink something.
Mm.
Because we've seen how quickly these tables turn when your window runs out. So I think for me, and there's no excuses next year. Like, I just think if you had a striker, like, there's certain games, like last season against Bayern Munich in the Champions League, Harry Kane was a difference. Gets a penalty, scores it. Then they win their leg 1-0. They go back to Bayern, close it out. This season, you think to yourself, that start they had in the second leg against PSG, when they're all over them, a striker there, just boom, bury, get a foot out. If you add an Isak there, boom, you go in there, it's 1-0. Yeah. All momentum's there, but then you don't take those chances, and then what happens is you play against the side, We've got proven goal scorers up front. They score. Boom. Now you're down. You're playing, like, how do we get you? So that's my thing also, is that I think they do need a striker. And I just think Arteta obviously is definitely feeling the pressure.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I just think, like, a striker, it just will change life. I still think they've got the recipe. I still think they've got the players. I just think now they just need that final piece of the puzzle. It's a striker. And then from there, if that doesn't work, then you start looking at things, okay, maybe there's certain, we start re-looking. Because the likes of Saliba, how long do you hold on for?
Yeah. It's going to be his dream to play at Real Madrid. Yeah. I've seen this movie.
I have a semi-hot take about Arsenal.
Go for it.
Outside of a couple of Community Shields, three Premier League titles, and like some FA Cups. Okay.
Quite a few.
What has Arsenal actually done in the world of football? What makes them a big club?
Look, I'm not going to defend them. They've done two major things. They've got Invincibles.
Great.
And Thierry
that
Henry.
Happened in 2005.
Everything else, like, they could fly a kite. And that's coming from the biggest hate watcher of Arsenal. And that's all the credit I want to give them. But, and as you said, Cooks, it's suffering from their own success. They've come second three times in a row now, if I'm correct. At some point, I want to get a taste. And also another thing is that they did that gamble thing where this season they said, no, we're going to focus on the league. And then they got kicked out of FA Cup, then they got kicked out of Carabao Cup, they got kicked out of Champions League. Now we're like, we've got nothing. And I think if they've just got something, we'd have been less focused on, you know, them being this. Would have said Liverpool was just that good. They lost to a good PSG team. But now they've got nothing, once again.
Yeah, nothing to show for it.
Nothing for sure.
And they haven't for years.
Yeah, so.
That's a frustrating thing. Like you said, like, if they have 5 years of goal near, no trophies, United 5 years of they banter and there's 5 finals.
Yeah.
And I think Arsenal's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Because they have gotten better this season in terms of the Champions League run.
Yeah.
Like, they were fantastic against Real Madrid. And you can see, like, there's a game with Blood Man City. You can see they've gotten better.
Yeah.
You can see that they are. And the frustrating thing is that for at least the last two seasons, they've been, with Man City, okay, this is the two best clubs, City and Arsenal at the moment, yeah, slightly maybe ahead of Liverpool. But then this season, had a chance to sort of dominate, but Liverpool sort of overtook them. They're like, well, City's down. While you guys are still figuring out, we're going to take our title now. And now, for Arsenal, what if City comes back next season? Are you back in the same boat now? It's like, now it's back to three sides competing.
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe we're all just the fools for having hope that Arsenal are...
Yeah, and
yeah, that's so true. Maybe we're giving them the big benefit of the doubt. Yeah,
and this is who they are. This is the big thing I wanted to close off on. I think Arsenal, I hope you guys also just don't go out and back the squad again. Because
I hope they do.
Because then this is what's going to happen, I think.
I actually want them to get a striker. So I want Arsenal to get a striker.
Yeah.
It's my dream. I want Arsenal to get a striker, get the guys they want. And I want them to, at this point next season, to sit here and be like, oh, guys, what went wrong?
Yeah.
But again, like, I want a heartbreak. Like, oh, no, what went wrong again? I'm like, oh, no. Now they're the new CEO.
they're the new next season's our season club.
Yeah, as my boy Patrice ever would say, another episode of Netflix. Guys, that was our little talk about the EPL season. What a great season it was. And I just want to give an honorable shout out to Jamie Vardy, 200 goals in, I think, yeah, 500. What a legend. And he bows out from Leicester. So that was my little bit of a favorite one. I'm going to go into the polls for last week. Flex, if you can bring it up. So who is winning the Champions League final this coming weekend? Everybody got PSG.
Chiefs.
At 64%. Inter, 18%. And Chiefs, if they were playing. Shout out to my guys. Title Town is still on the move. That's crazy, guys. I think that Inter might take it. And that's my hot take for that.
Wow.
Because, you know, something about Italian teams in the final.
That's also true. Although, so, I kind of actually agree. Italian teams in any European final, historically, goaded. Yeah. But PSG this season in Europe have just been unmatched.
Both sides, they're basically like the sum of all parts, right? It's not, there's no like, I mean, like Turo Martinez is for Inter, is probably the big star, Dembele as well. But they've all got a team, right?
Yeah.
Inzaghi's got like Mkhitaryan and Damian. I'm like kind of holding on him, like
the old horses.
So I think, yeah, and there's two fantastic managers, right? In Enrique and Simone Inzaghi. So yeah. I still lean towards PSG. I think they're the better squad.
So guys, this week's poll. Once again, they're probably dragging the hell out of me. This is Ben all the way from Scotland.
Top 15.
Where will Man United finish next season in the EPL? Will they come in top 4? LOL. Like I said, Ben wrote this poll. Top 10, top 15, and same as 2014, 2015. We can't afford the last one. That's all
I'll do. What was last year again?
This is this season. That's what he's basically saying.
I think he was sixth last year.
So guys, that is our poll. And this is our show, the EPL Roundup. Next week is finally our big, big show, episode 50. I'm not going to get into it. It's me and Ben's dream show since we started it. Please look out for all the promo for that. Guys, please follow us on our social media pages. TRN on the bounce, on Instagram on the bounce, and me, Shaz LNS, and Ben on the bounce. Oh, the bounce. Sorry, I got that one right. Guys, that was episode 49 of our show. Oaks, thank you for joining us. And yeah, cheers. And we look forward to having you guys soon. And another season of the EPL. Ice baths this season.
I think next season we do another forfeit in the beginning. I'm just saying, but we'll leave it.
All right, guys. Cheers, man.